Today's daf is daf tetvav, and we're holding at the Eilek Mishnah right on top, and this Mishnah is the logical continuation of the sugya that we've been dealing with. So the two basic issues that we've had so far that introduced a totally new concept into our thinking about the inyanim of the schach is gzeras derabbanan. So one of them was called the gzeras otzar, and that had to do with the possibility of being over on taseh v'lo min ha'asui without realizing it by moving into something that was originally set up not l'shem schach. And the other thing that we introduced as a new gzera was something that was called gzerat tikra. Gzerat tikra was the question of whether what it is that you're using for your schach is something that is commonly used for the covering of a home, in which case you would not realize the basic distinction between a home and a sukkah, and you may come to sit under a normal roofing. Today we have a combination of these issues, because what we speak about in this Mishnah is where you actually had a roof in the first place, and it was actually made with these nesarim for your home. So now, even if I do something, the question is, if I decide that I'm going to sit in there l'shem sukkah. So let's imagine a case where I bring a drill, one of those, what do they call them? Whatever, a jackhammer. I take off all of the roofing material, and I'm left just with the ceiling underneath. And the ceiling is made of these same boards that are pasul, according to Rabbi Meir, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, Liba de Shmuel, they're possible if they're four. But whatever it is that would make them possible, even I'm saying this because we're going to need to remember Rav and Shmuel's discussion yesterday. So once again, either according to Rav, they would be possible because they are four, and the point is that Rabbi Meir holds of Gezeras Tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Gezeras Tikra, or according to Shmuel, their puzzle, according to everybody when they're four, Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Gezeras Tikra, and the cases where there's a machlokas or where they're less than four, so keep that in mind. Whatever the case is, we now are left with a ceiling that doesn't have a roof over it. Okay, what can I do now to make that ceiling kosher? Aha. So if you think about it for a moment, what could you do to make a haystack kosher? Well, you would make the hole in the haystack, and then you would lift up the haystack on top, and you would lower it down, right? So now that question about the haystack, which was the issue of, well, once you were in the haystack, and then you went ahead and you were metakein the haystack by going out of your way to lift it and put it down, remember that there was a question there whether even in that case I would say that there is a gzeras otzar, right? Because we said, okay, if we're talking about something that is normal, where you put things, packages up on a patio top to be able to dry out in the sun, I understand that over there we have to be concerned that it would be puzzle, even though you knew what you were doing and you lifted it up again, you set it down, you made it very clear that it's only for the purposes of your sukkah. That's because it looks like something that would be puzzle. And okay. But what about in this case? In this case, suppose you tore off the roof, all the roofing material, you're left with the original pieces of wood that were facing you on the ceiling inside the house. Now you go up, you lift up each one of those boards, and you lower them down again. So now you knew and you indicate that you knew that there was a problem of taseh v'lo min ha'asui, because this ceiling was originally made for a home and was not made in order to be a sukkah. And you therefore took it apart, lifted it up, put it back down again. Is there still a gzera of tikra in the case where you destroyed the roof in order to make the sukkah? Or is that the same as a haystack? Because having done that, it's very clear that there is no chashash that you're going to actually make the mistake of sitting in a house. You just tore down the roof of your house in order to be able to sit in it. So basically what we have over here is a combination of the issues, you see? First of all, the question is each one of those boards possible? That's dependent on the previous machlokas about gzeras tikra. Then the question is, if it actually was a tikra, does destroying the roofing of the house change anything? Because you've indicated that you know exactly how to be metaken, and you would never come to be nichshal in sitting actually in the house. Now, just to have a few people that are sitting there, and everybody else, I'm looking facing names, and I just gave you an introduction that deserves, I can't even tell you how much, that I've never seen anybody understand the beauty of the Seder of the Mishnayos and bringing up the haystack where it's not Nogea Bichlal, and all of a sudden getting back to the haystack, which is the end of the next Mishnah, which is this Mishnah, Chotek Begodesh La'asoto Sukkah, and Sukkah all of a sudden appears here. Nobody understands why here, for God's sake, why not before? Nothing. Yeah, okay, fine. We, you know, in our depth of boredom, we're somewhere here behind our names. And we may have listened to that. We may not have listened to that. Thank you very much, everyone. It's deeply appreciated to have this profound relationship of joy in the Limud HaTorah. Yes, indeed. And if you can find it in your heart to share yourselves a little bit so I can see you and get chizuk from knowing that you're there and that you care. If you only knew what it meant to me to learn with you, I don't think you would do this. But okay, what can I do? Fine. All right, so now with that background, I hope, we can get into the Mishnah and try to understand what's going on. Tikra she'in aleha ma'aziva. So let's imagine a case where we haven't yet made the roof on top of the tikra, but we did lay down the ceiling, and every one of these boards is actually screwed into the frame of the ceiling. Now the question is, what can be done? Now, we're assuming that since the Gezeiras Tikra was on boards of four, it's because normally roofs are made with boards of four. And therefore, what we're talking about over here is four tfachim wide, nisarim, that have been screwed into a ceiling, and there's no roofing yet on top of them. Okay, that's our opening case. Oh, Gavi, you just missed such a wonderful introduction. You're going to have to go back and listen. So in this case, we have a very strange, all of a sudden, that involves us in the machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir all over again. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, actually, it's a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about what you need to do in this case. So Beit Shammai says that what you have to do is you have to be, first of all, mefakfek. Mefakfek is a machlokas rishonim. According to Rashi, it means you have to unscrew the pieces and lift them up and put them back down again. Others hold that unscrewing alone is enough to be mefakfek because now you've disconnected them from the roof. But whatever it means that first of all, we're going to make sure that these have been reconnected and they're no longer tasim and asur. And then after that, you're going to have to go and take out every other board, and you're going to have to put in kosher schach between every other board. Now, this makes absolutely no sense. I mean, if you're taking out every other board, what's the difference about the space in between? This makes no sense on the surface. And nobody's going to ask us what that's supposed to mean. Maybe it's an alternative. Maybe you can either be mefakfek to be makshir the boards, but if that's true, if you could be mefakfek to be makshir the boards, then it would only work according to Rav, you see? Because Rav is the one who holds that Rabbi Yehuda does not believe that there's such a thing as a Gezeiras Tikra. And since we're talking about four tefachim boards over here, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that Beit Shammai, and that Beit Hillel says, let me just, I forgot to finish, Beit Hillel omri mefakfek ono telachat mi ben hatayim, you could do one or the other. So in other words, what is that saying by saying you could do one or the other openly? If it's saying you do one or the other, it means you could still use those boards even though they are for tefachim as long as you made sure that they were not tasev alom and asri. But I thought, according to the way we were understanding Rabbi Yehuda Aliba Shmuel, that even Rabbi Yehuda agreed that there was a gzeras tikra. So how would he report Beis Hillel? Because the halacha is always like Beis Hillel, how would he report that Beit Hillel says that you could use these boards as long as you made sure that they were not tasev alomina asui? Again, you understand clearly that this is a Mishnah that is combining the two sugyas of tasev alomina asui and the actual material with Gezeras Tikra. And now we're trying to apply Tasev Alomina Asoi to the case of the Gezeras Tikra. And we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel holds that once there's no problem of Tasev Alomina Asoi in this case, because initially it was put there for a house and not for a sukkah, and therefore is not usable for a sukkah, that's a Tasev Alomina Asoi issue which is possible to arise. Because remember, Tasev Alomina Asoi would apply to all cases of Tasev Alomina Asoi. Until now, we've been talking about Tasev Alomina Asoi where it was put there shelo l'shem tzel. Now we're talking about it's Tasev Alomina Asoi, it was put there shelo l'shem sukkah, but l'shem bayit. But in either event, the sudden switch in intent of use is not going to change anything unless you do something to remake your sukkah. Why? Tasev Alomina Asoi. Now the question is, but now you remade your sukkah with boards that are four tvachim wide. Isn't that a problem of Gzeras Otzar? Says the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel holds that it's not. So what that means is that there's no Gzeras Otzar. Who is the one that said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Gzeras Otzar, gentlemen? Rav. Shmuel claimed that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a Gzeras Otzar. Once it's Arba Tvachim wide. Therefore, this Mishnah, on the face of it, is a stira to the entire approach of Shmuel in Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who claims that there's a machlokas Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, and that Beit Shammai holds for some inscrutable reason that you would need to do two separate things. You would need to be Mifak fake, which of course doesn't make sense, but okay, let's assume that's what it means, that you would need to actually first pick up each board and put it back down, and then you would need to remove every other board and to fill the space in with kosher schach, which anyway, as we pointed out earlier, is ridiculous, because then you would have the sukkah being puzzled because you don't have seven tvachim of schach in one place. Each one is interrupted by four tvachim of schach, which puzzles the sukkah. And which we already explained yesterday as meaning that what it's talking about is you start on either end of an 8-amma roof, you put down a solid board, which is 4 tvachim, and then you skip 4 tvachim, you put kosher schach, put another solid board, and it just works out that right in the middle you'll have 8 tvachim of kosher schach, and it just works out that on either side you will have dofen akuma. And therefore, you end up with a kosher sukkah of 8 tvachim in the middle. And that would be the case. Fine, that's acceptable. I understand. Except that it makes absolutely no sense to say that you need to do both of these things. I mean, if you've thrown away the non-kosher schach, then why would I need to be mifak fake? Just throw out every other board. I don't care what the boards in the middle are. So clearly, Beit Shammai can't intelligently mean this. We're going to have to understand what he really is saying. Rebbe Meir, on the other hand, says, what kind of business is this? How could there be such a machlokas to be mefak fake? And pikpuk is not going to help you. Because all pikpuk does is addresses the Tasev Alomina Asoi. What are you going to do about the fact that the material that you're left with is possible because of Gzeras Tikra? Therefore, it says Rebbe Meir, the heck with this pikpuk? Ain't a mefak fake? It's not going to mean anything. No point in doing it. There's only one possibility that you can do. Since you cannot use boards of this size because of Gezeras Tikra, the only possible thing that you can do is to make it kosher with the schach in the middle. And if you hold that schach in the middle is also going to be possible if there's a board of four tvachim anywhere in the sukkah, so then it would have to be the case that we spoke about yesterday. That is a machlokas, but fine, assuming that that's the point. So then, Enochinami, the only way to work it out is a sukkah of 8 amos. Exactly, you started off in the way that I explained it, and you've got the 8 tvachim. We showed the picture yesterday, just to be mamchish that case. Okay, so now this is a mission that is extremely sophisticated. It's bringing up a number of different issues. On the surface, it's only bringing up the two issues of Gzeras Tikra and of Tasev Alomina Asoi in a completely new setting. But more profoundly, as I introduced to you, it's furthermore bringing up the interrelationship of the haystack question. That is, a situation in which you went out of your way to fix what the problem was, is there still a Gezeras Tikra in that case? So now let's take a look step by step and go through this. So Bishlama Beit Hillel. Okay, I understand what Beit Hillel is saying. They're saying something which is very logical. You've got a problem over here of Tasev Alomina Osei. So you can address the Tasev Alomina Osei either by making it again. Okay, so how do you make it again? You're Mefakvek. So if you're Mefakvek, whatever that pikpuk means, whether it means unscrewing it or it means actually lifting it, but whatever it means, that is the act. So therefore, you now did re-Tasev. So there's no problem. See, Mefakvek, you did a new Maisa. Or you don't want to go to that trouble. You could simply remove every other one. And now you're building a new sukkah by putting in the schach. Okay, so you also did a maisa building a new sukkah. But what the heck could Beit Shammai possibly be saying by suggesting that you're supposed to do both of them? What good is both of them if the Rebbe has his eyes shut? Absolutely nothing. I did not install the bucket of ice water yet, but just you guys wait for the dramatic moment, which we will capture on film, if necessary, to be passed down to the tzatzaim of the Rebbe. All right. So what in the world would he be thinking, Beit Shammai, if he's got a problem of Tasev Alomina Osei? Fine. So then do either one, like Beit Hillel said. If he holds that there's a Gzeras Tikra, even if he would take care of the Tasev Alomina Osei, so then all you're left with is one of the two options. But it's a sufficient option. You certainly don't need to do both. So all you need to do is take out either every other board, and then that would address both issues. It will no longer be Tasev Alomina Osei because you made a new sukkah, and it will no longer be Pasul because of Gzeras Tikra because you're using kosher schach. So what's your problem? Le'yola mishum Gzeras Tikra. No, Beit Shammai does hold of Gzeras Tikra. The statement of Beit Shammai meant that even if you went ahead and you were mefakfek, don't think for a minute that that's going to save you, because all you then addressed was the problem of Tasev Alomina Osei. But you still didn't address your Gzeras Tikra now, did you? Therefore, what Beit Shammai is saying, you can do all the pikpuk that you want from today till tomorrow, but you're still going to have to be notel achatz mipin hatayim. He wasn't suggesting that you have to do both, obviously. That would be crazy. So he's saying, afal pi shemifak fake, you have only one option. You must be notel mipin achatz mipin hatayim. And if you don't, then forget it. You don't have a sukkah. Excuse me? That's what Beit Shammai is saying? I mean, I got news for you. That's what Rabbi Meir is saying. That's the end of the Mishnah. Look at the next line. Ema Seifa. Rabbi Meir omer notel achat mipin hatayim, aval lo yifak fake. So now Rabbi Meir is saying what Beit Shammai is saying? That's insane. How would Rabbi Meir be saying, I hold the sheet of Beit Shammai, I don't have the sheet of Beit Hillel? No, you don't understand Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is saying, cut it out, Rabbi Yehuda. What machlokas Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel? There's no such machlokas. Every normal person in the world understands, forget about pikpuk, take out every other one, because there's not a single sheet anywhere, there's no such machlokas. There's not a single sheet anywhere that would suggest that just dealing with the Tasev Alomina Osei issue is sufficient in this case to be machshir, because you're going to be left with schach posel because of Gzeras Tikra, as I have insisted all along from the beginning of this issue, which we started in the previous Mishnah. And therefore, I don't know what you're sitting around here talking about machlokas and Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel nonsense. So that's the point. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. Forget about this machlokas. It doesn't exist. So now I'm really confused. So what that means is that Mishnah that we just learned has absolutely zero information in it. It's just repeating the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that we had in the previous Mishnah. What do I care about, you know, whether you phrase it as a direct machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't hold Gzeras Tikra. Rabbi Meir says, I do hold Gzeras Tikra. And then you're going to say the same Mishnah over again, except that this time you're going to couch it in different words. Rabbi Yehuda says that Beit Hillel says that there's no Gzeras Tikra. And Rabbi Meir says, no, nobody says that there's no Gzeras Tikra. I mean, it's ridiculous. So then we have a whole other Mishnah pretending to be introducing this very complex new sugya. And now the way you have analyzed it, it boils down to zero. So then can you explain it, what it is you're trying to tell me? Excuse me? So my kamashmon, what's the chiddush that Rabbi Meir does hold of Gzeras Tikra? And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Gzeras Tikra. I mean, I thought this was the machlokas we had in the first part of the mission that we did yesterday. V'afligu b'chod ha-zimna, the t'nan b'sachakim minasorim divir Reb Yehuda, Reb Meir Oser. Now note that this whole thing only makes sense according to Rav, because according to Shmuel, all of this is wrong. Reb Yehuda does agree to Gzeras Tikra. Fine, we'll ask that in a moment. So what's the Chiddush? Omar Rabbi Chia Barava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, yesterday's Mishnah was a complete flop. We misunderstood it. You're kidding. All of that stuff we misunderstood? That's right. Yesterday's Mishnah had nothing to do with Gzeras Tikra. This Mishnah is the first time that we've even mentioned Gzeras Tikra. So I said, what was the whole discussion yesterday all about? I don't understand. There's another Gezeira that Mishnah is about, and that is called the Gezeira of Kaling. What's that? Well, what the Mishnah was really talking about was that you used lumber from a lumberyard. It was beautifully finished boards. So what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that is that people look at it, and Rabbi Meir says that it's possible. Why is it possible? Not because of Gezeiras Tikra. It's possible because it looks like you are using finished kalim. Even though obviously such wood, just because it comes from a lumberyard and it's been positively beautifully sandpapered and it looks like ready to, it's still not going to be makabel tuma, is it? It won't be, but people will think, gosh, I mean, this is manufactured goods. It's the same thing as buying trays made out of wood. I've got beautiful wooden trays with a little piece around them. Now I'll cover my sukkah with trays. I mean, is that any different than buying these lovely, lovely boards that were meant for paneling your walls? Same thing. And therefore, you come to use something that is not kosher for the sukkah. So because of that, Rebbe Meir says there's a new gezerah, a third gezerah. Gezerah Tikra was introduced today, talking about a tikra. Doesn't that make sense? We're talking about a tikra, shenala maziva. So there we're talking about gezerah tikra. You guys jumped the gun. And you guys gave this whole discussion yesterday between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that obviously was nogei gzeras tikra, had nothing to do with gzeras kalim, but that's because you misunderstood the Mishnah. You took a known conversation between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and you applied it to the wrong Mishnah. Now you understand. So yesterday's Mishnah, the whole thing was a flop. What we were really talking about is gzeras kalim, says Rabbi Yochanan, and the Reisha was talking about that you use nisarim mishupim. You use these very well-finished sandpaper panels, and that's what was going on. And therefore, it's considered to be Mishum Gzeras Kalim Naguba. The problem was Gzeras Kalim. And there's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about the Gzeras Kalim. And now, gentlemen, we are to be treated by yet a deeper appreciation of what it was that the Seder of the Gemara was before. Because ask the Gemara, and how exactly are you going to explain the fact that Rav said, Sichecha b'chitzim zecharim kishera b'nekevot psula, how in the world would we be allowed to use male arrows and not female arrows? I mean, how many people really are going to be aware of the fact that there's a difference between male arrows and female arrows? I mean, for heaven's sakes. So what you're talking about over there is that there is no gezeira. Don't use male arrows. Somebody might come and make the mistake of thinking that you can use female arrows. That is a pretty valid kind of a thing to be gozer, and we were not gozer. Because we take for granted that, in fact, people are not going to be using kalim, and they know when something is makabel tuma and when it's not makabel tuma. So why in the world do you come now and say, well, the whole discussion, Rav and Shmuel, that was a misunderstanding. They were really talking about gezeira mishum kalim. If Rav himself says there is no such gezeira, even where it's literally the same kli, they're both arrows. So this is ridiculous. That can't be the pshat in the Mishnah. You see over there, sichecha b'chitzim zicharim kishera b'nekevot psula, and we never occurred to us over there to be gozer zicharim out to nekevot. So then why would we be gozer in the Sarim Meshupima to Kalim? I mean, that's even a much more, far more far-fetched kind of thing to confuse, isn't it? So therefore, forget about this attempt to restructure the previous Mishnah and to introduce a new Gezerah called Gezerah's Kalim. Scotch that right now. Okay, so let's go back and face reality. The previous Mishnah was talking about Gezerah's Tikra. In which case, this Mishnah seems to be merely a restatement of the entrenched positions of Gezerah's Tikra, the way that Rav understood them yesterday. So now, what is the point of saying that Machlokas twice? So then, if Liga, so now, are we now agreed, El Al Korchacha Reisha Pliga B'Gezerah's Tikra? Yes. And Seif is also Pliga B'Gezerah's Tikra? Yes, thank you. So can you now tell me why we have the same Machlokas twice? Can we start again? The point is like this, that the only reason that we mention any of this is because we need this last piece for understanding Rabbi Yehuda's discussion with Rabbi Meir. And what's basically is just continuing the first Mishnah, we now go on to say that, look, you should know that Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi Meir, what's your problem, Rabbi Meir, that you asered Nisarim Mishum Gzerat Tikra? But, only Beit Shammai holds of Gzerat Tikra, not Beit Hillel. So what are you doing? You're paskening like Beit Shammai? Hai Svarala Beit Shammai Yudaitlu, Beit Hillel doesn't hold of this. They're not gozer because of Gzerat Tikra. And Rabbi Meir comes back at the end of the discussion and says that your Kabbalah, that there was a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is simply mistaken. There never was such a machlokas. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel bedavar zeh. Okay, but meanwhile, the Mishnah is clearly telling us that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Gzeras, does not hold of this Gzeras Tikra, right? Because we're talking about four Tfachim. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Beis Hillel doesn't hold of Gzeras Tikra. But you, Shmuel, said that Rabbi Yehuda does agree with Gzeras Tikra, if the boards are for Tvachim. And over here, we're talking about an actual ceiling. And actual ceilings were normally made of Arba Tvachim. So then we have a right to assume that our Mishnah is referring to a ceiling of Arba Tvachim. So how do you explain this away? The whole discussion that we just had only works according to Rav. That if we start with the understanding that we begin with Gzeras Tikra only on something that is used normally for a Tikra, which is the four Tfachim board. And it's Rabbi Meir who holds, yes, that's a problem. There's a concept of Gzeras Tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, there ain't no such thing as Gzeras Tikra. Fine, so then this whole discussion is very nice. Yes, this Mishnah adds an additional element that there was a communication between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to whether this thing was actually Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Fine. But according to Shmuel, the whole discussion is absurd. Shmuel holds that the only Machlokas Beit Shammai, only Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is where there's the boards were not a normal Tikra, and they are not four Tvachim. They were less than four Tvachim. So then what are they arguing about over here? This Mishnah that's talking about an actual Tikra, the Mishnah that's talking about an actual Tikra, everybody should agree that there is a Gzeras Tikra. Now, how is Rabbi Yehuda coming along and claiming that according to Beit Hillel, there is no Gzeras Tikra? Answers the Gemara. Fabulous answer. And that is that basically what is being added here is exactly this point. Because the question over here is whether in the event that someone went out of his way to address the very issue of Gzeras Tikra, look how amazing this is, gentlemen. The case that we had before that we're going to have in the coming Mishnah, which is why this entire sugya is a preparation for the closing words of the sugya about the haystack, and we joked about that finding your sukkah in the haystack, it turns out that, look, over there, the question was that a person went out of his way to deal with another issue of Tasav Elamana Asri. What was that other issue? The other issue was that it was laid down not for purposes of shade. And now somebody went ahead and he addressed that issue because that would have been a Tasav Elamana Asri, and therefore he lifted it up the top of the haystack, and we called it, he blew his haystack, put it down again, and now it became a kosher sukkah, and we said, okay, over there I understand the rabbanon are not going to be geyser. How about if somebody addresses the tasa velomina osui issue of tikra? You understand the difference? If I show that I am completely aware of the fact that I cannot use a real tikra for a sukkah, and I take a real tikra, and I unscrew every piece, and I lift it up and let it back down. So now I have addressed exactly the same issue that I addressed when I was in the haystack. I now addressed it on my tikra. So in the same way that I'm not going to be geyser gzeiras haystacks in the sense of the gzeiras otzer, where I address the problem of the otzer, then I won't need perhaps to address a gzeiras tikra where I just went out of my way to destroy my tikra because I was worried about the problem of gzeiras tikra and I showed myself to be aware of that problem. So are you going to tell me that now that I destroyed my tikra to be able to get the wood from the tikra, now you're going to tell me we can't let you use the wood from the tikra? After all, you might come to use the tikra. Are you crazy? I'm going to come to use the tikra. I just tore down the roof in order to get these pieces. How can you say that? But this, of course, would be the question of whether it relates to the particular act or does it relate to the definition of the material? A question that we had earlier about whether if you set them on their side, are they considered to be an ipso facto possum material as if you're using your toaster oven? Or is it just the particular way that you've done it? That's the issue over here. The new machlokas. The way we understand it, this is the way that Shmuel will have to understand it, is that the question over here is, bitule tikra kamiflage. Can you address the problem by canceling out your tikra? That's the question. So Mar Sava, Rabbi Yehuda says, according to Shmuel, look, normally I must tell you that I would never allow you to use boards of arba'at vachim, but under these circumstances, where you went out of your way to cancel the tikra, at that point you have now also canceled the problem of the gzeiras tikra, haven't you? Because, I mean, after all, it's only a problem of your utilization in the particular case. And as utilized, it's clear that it was done with all the correct understanding and it's all a sukkah up to code. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, excuse me, once it's puzzle, it's puzzle. The fact that you put a big sign on it and it says, to all concerned, I am fully aware of the fact that I cannot use a sukkah that has boards that are actually a tikra. However, these boards are not a tikra and I put them down. Who cares? Well, you think that your announcement is going to cancel the gzeir derabbanan of gzeiras tikra? It's not a function of the event, it's a function of the material. And therefore, who cares? Put it on its side, put it flat down, put up a sign, don't put up a sign, tear down the roof, don't tear down the roof. A board which is four tefachim wide is posel, 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 and I don't care what you do about it. Okay? That is certainly a tremendous new issue that was not discussed earlier. All right. Now we can continue.
And it was a panel discussion.
I didn't leave much room for the panels, unfortunately. They're too quiet. So now our next Mishnah is about to be introduced by our esteemed Kapitan. We even got a Mordechai this morning. Our esteemed Kapitan, who will now introduce with a full foghorn, just to make sure that the fogginess around us is dispelled. A true foghorn. Hamekare sukato bashpudin. Oba aruchot hamita. Now, what we do always is we put down some kind of lattice work or some kind of boards to support the schach, because the type of schach that we use is generally kind of stuff that will fall to the ground if we just put it up there, right? So you need something to support the schach. Okay, so a guy first makes a roof, so to speak, over his sukkah, So he takes a bed frame that has been lying around. He puts the bed frame on top of his roof. And now he uses the bed frame to support the schach. Or maybe he uses these metal spits that he's got. Got these big spits. Perfect. They're just the right size to support my schach. And you put it up there. Is that going to passel the sukkah? Well, im yesh revach b'neihem kamotan. If the space between the boards of the bed, remember that a bed is mekabel tuma, because it's mekabel tuma's midras, and the spit is mekabel tuma, because it's a metal claim, metal kelim or mekabelim tuma. So if there's as much space between the supporting passel board, psul boards, and then you fill them with kosher schach in between, then it would be kosher for some strange reason, because why in the world should it be kosher? You don't have rov schach kosher. That we'll discuss in the Gemara. But if not, then it would be pasul. And now at last we get to the question of the haystack, which we thought was fundamental all along. And for some reason, the Mishnah crazily brings it up at the end of all three, where we seem to be talking about other things. Hakotet bagadish lasot basukah, ena sukah. And that was the diyuk that Rabbi Yochanan had made at the beginning of the sugya, the difference between saying the words ena sukah or just saying the fact that it's not kosher for a sukkah. Anyway, so let's take a look at this first issue. You're telling me that if I fill in the holes in between and there's as much open area to fill with kosher schach as there is closed area, that would be okay. Now, just hold on a second. Remember in Shabbos we had the question of whether that would be okay? What was the case? The case was that you took boards that were three tefachim wide or more. You put these boards, you're on a caravanning trip. You're somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You take these boards, you bang them into the ground. And so now you've got three tvachim, four tvachim, whatever, but more than lovut, because once it's three tvachim, there's now no lovut. And you space them with equal space as board. So you put in one board, leave the same amount of space, then put in another board. And so now you've got your entire encampment surrounded by these boards. Is that kosher or not? Well, that's a big machlokas. And what it appears from this Mishnah is that we now have a determination in the Mishnah as to what the halacha is. Because the Mishnah is saying that even if you have the same amount of open space as you have closed space, that is considered to be open space. So then, limit havati yufta de Ravuna b'reidu Rav Yehoshua. Then this seems to be a final proof that Ravuna b'reidu Rav Yehoshua is wrong. Because note this machlokas, the itmar, we had this back in Erevin. Porutzka omeid, Rav Papa omar mutter. If you have the same amount of space in between as you do, that's open. So then that is considered to be a real mechitza, because all that we need is that half of a mechitza should be there. And Ravuna b'Rebbe of Yeshua says that no, you need that most of it is supposed to be there. But if you only have half of it, then you're not able to carry. Now this Mishnah that says you take schach that's kosher, and you're going to be using that schach, even though only half of it is made of schach. Well, says over here, that's fine. As long as half of it is the mechitza, so to speak, that we want, in this case, the mechitza is the schach, so then if that's the case, apparently, Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua is wrong, and that we do not require a rov. What we require is that the kosher area should be one half. Amalach, Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua, I say that that's not the case at all. When it says over here that all you need to do is have the area between them to be the same size. Now note how much this relates to the previous Mishnah about removing every other board. Maybe that would be an option for, I mean, it's saying the same thing, isn't it? We said if you took out every other board, it would be kosher, even though that would leave you only with half and half of schach kosher. That we have to see how we're going to deal with that issue. We haven't even discussed yet. But over here, when the next Mishnah openly discusses the question of precisely how much space needs to be there, It definitely seems to be saying that half and half is sufficient. But Rav Huna Bar Eder of Yehoshua says, well, that's not what the Mishnah means. Because when the Mishnah says you need the same amount, komotam, you need the same amount as you have as the posel thing, as the aruchos hamita, or as the spits that you were using, it doesn't mean the same amount. It means the same amount benichnas v'yotze. It means you have to be able to take the equivalent size of a spit and be able to put it in and out without moving anything, and it would simply be insertable. So, I mean, if you're moving it in and out easily, then obviously there's a slightly greater space between the two pieces than the actual size of the piece, because if it's the actual size of the piece, you're going to have to wedge it in. You're not going to be able to simply move it up and down. And therefore, the Mishnah, by definition, when it says you have the same amount, it means you have the same amount to easily take out every other one or put in one as it is. And therefore, the empty space, the gap, is actually larger than the actual spits. Fine. That's why they always say, mind the gap, particularly, because that gap is going to be slightly wider. But I don't understand. I mean, what are you trying to say, that the Mishnah implies that? Why does the Mishnah imply that? I mean, obviously, what if somebody actually took a laser beam measure and he made it exactly the same size, okay? Are you saying that the Mishnah actually believes that that would be possible? And that the Mishnah could fool us by saying, well, the scholarship is the same? What are you talking about? I mean, I have sure it sounds same. I mean, certainly it could be. I mean, the Mishnah gives you a definition, a very literal definition. If it's the same size, it's okay. So you say, yeah, and you know, sort of loosely, it's the same size because you put it in and out. I mean, and what if it wasn't? What if you made it exactly the same size? And now you're saying the Mishnah is saying that that's not kosher. I mean, how can you write a Mishnah like that? I mean, it's saying over here that if it's equal, it's okay. Amar Rav Ami, the Mishnah is talking about somebody who specifically was ma'adif. Even though the Mishnah, you're right, theoretically is saying a statement that may be misleading, you can't use that to prove. It's possible that somebody could do this, but the Mishnah is saying that you were looking at a norm. We're looking at a thing where something was moved in and out. If it's moved in and out, then it's usually larger. Rava says, I don't, that's really difficult to believe. I think the Mishnah means exactly what it says. The Mishnah means even if it's exactly the same. Tell me something. When you're putting in this schach between the spits, why did you put the spits up there in the first place? They were there to support the schach. So are you putting the schach now lengthwise along the spits? I mean, that would be pretty dumb. You put in spits, and then you put in lengthwise schach that could fall straight down between the spits. I mean, obviously, you're putting them in the other direction. So if the spits were laid shasi, then the schach is laid arev. If the spits were laid arev, then the schach is laid shasi. That's why you put them up there. But that means, by definition, the upper layer, which is the kosher schach, is always going to be larger than the lower layer because it has to hang over the edge. So, of course, the Mishnah is saying it's kosher. Of course you've got more kosher schach than pasul schach because you're not only filling up the space, but you're also overriding the area that was pasul by putting schach on top of it. So you've got roof, schach kosher. So what's your problem? Afilu tema b'she'eno ma'adif. Ima yunitunim shesi. You're telling me the spits were up there, they're in lengthwise. So fine, so then you put these things widthwise. If you had the other ones put in the width, so then you put these lengthwise. But whatever it is, you've got rov schach kosher, and that's why the spits are batal. Okay, so now we have an understanding of what it is that we're being told to do about this Mishnah, and that it doesn't mean to imply that necessarily half and half would be okay. But I need to understand this business about aruchot hamita, because last I heard is that there's some issues. Because, I mean, remember in Kalim? In Kalim, we had a lot of discussions about aruchot hamita, and it was mashma that certainly according to some shitas, it's not going to be mekabel tuma once you disconnected the sideboards of the bed from the rest of the bed. So so the only way I can understand it, you know, is to say that what we're assuming over here is that even though I disconnected the pieces of the bed, It's obviously not saying he used the bed. It's saying he used the aruchot amita, used the sideboard of the bed. Okay. So, or the end board, whatever. So now, why is that a problem if the bed is no longer tameh because it's no longer a bed? So this seems to be a raya to Rav Ami Bar Tuv Yume. Rav Ami Bar Tuv Yume shita is that if you use something that was once mekabel tuma, not mekabel tuma, but was once roy lekabel tuma, right? So you had, let's say that you had pieces of rags. These rags were originally three etzpaot on three etzpaot, and they were able to be mekabel tuma. Now you use these rags all year round. They are no longer three etzpaot by three etzpaot. They've now been worn down to two etzpaot. Okay, so now you'll say, all right, great. So now I've got cotton rags. Cotton grows from the ground, and rags that are less than three by three are not roy lekabel tuma, so I will now have a raggedy sukkah. So lema misayeh leil Rav Ami Bar Tuv Yume, because Rav Ami Bar Tuv Yume says, look, once a rag, always a rag. And therefore, if you had something that was mekabel, shayach to kabbalas tuma initially, you cannot use it as your sukkah. Sichecha bivaloi kelim, if you use worn out kelim, meaning clothing, so then it would be possible. So this is now no longer the correct size, and even though it's no longer mekabel tuma, but it's too late because of another gzeira derabbanan. A gzeira derabbanan of the confusion of baloi kelim with kelim. So actually there is a gzeiras kelim, but it's not the one that you claimed, which is the nisari meshupim. There's a gzeira, which is not to use something that would be initially a kli, and then you'll come to actually use the kli. Kiri Omar, Rav Chanan Omar, Rebbe says the Gemara, not necessarily. Because when we had the Mishnah in kelim, that dealt with this question of aruchot amita. So over there, Rav Chanan said, probably the correct girsa is not Rebbe, but Rav. Rav Chanan quoted Rav as saying that the case in Kalim was referring to an arucha ushtei kra'ayim or k'tzara ushtei kra'ayim. It's because the Mishnah in Kalim said, as we're going to see, that somehow the aruchot amita are mekabel tuma. So the Gemara wanted to know how it could be mekabel tuma. So we explained it over there, that if you're left with a sideboard and you've got the two legs that are still attached to it, or the long board, you've got two legs that are attached to it, then it's still usable as a kli, and we'll see in a minute how. So that must be the case over here. We're talking about arucha ushtei kra'ayim and ikzara ushtei kra'ayim, and that is what it's referring to, and that is pasul midiraisa. This has nothing to do with the gzera baloi kelim. Because remember, where did Reb Chanan quote Rav as saying that? Heichet mad Reb Chanan amar Rav, he said it about the Mishnah in kelim. And there, as we learned together, a mita mitamet chavila, you can only be mekabel tuma on a bed, tumas, that would be tumas, obviously, the mishkav u'moshav. So this would be the idea of having something of midras, where you have a bed that a zov can lie on, that's called tumas midras. Fine. So it could only be mekabel tuma if it is a full bed, it's a usable bed. Somebody could actually lie on it, sit on it. And if a bed became tameh, midras, then if you want to put the bed in the mikveh, you're going to have to find a big mikveh, because you can't come along and now disassemble the bed and say, okay, I'll put in first this piece, and then I'll put in first that piece. You can't do that any more than you can first put in your legs into a mikveh and then come out and put your arms into a mikveh. No, that's not called going to a mikveh. Well, the same thing is true of the bed. If the bed has to go to the mikveh, then the whole bed has to go to the mikveh. It's not in pieces. So if it's going to become tameh, it's got to be a usable bed. And if it's going to be put into the mikveh, it's got to be a full usable bed. So that is what Rav Eliezer said. But strangely enough, the Chachomim say, no, it can even be mekabel tuma when it's been disassembled, and it's metameh devarim, and it's metaheret devarim. You can put it by stages and pieces into the mikveh. So there the Gemara explained what in the world could possibly justify a shita that says that something that cannot be lied on can be mekabel tuma as midras, or something that was mekabel tuma as midras could possibly be still viewed as a full kli to be put into a bed in order, into a mikveh in order to be mekabel taira. Doesn't make any sense. And it was there that Reb Chanan quoted Rav as explaining that what we're talking about is either the long side of the bed that still has two legs attached to it, or the short side. And the reason that they were referring to that is because that is ro'oi for a kli to sit on or to lie on. How is that? I understand. Lamar Khazi, what the heck are you going to do with that? Very simple. All you need to do to make it usable is to put it up next to a wall and then extend the pieces on the edge so that they're supported by the wall. And therefore, either you could sit directly on the edge, or you know what you could do. You could be sitting on them, lemeitav halayah, or you could now take ropes, which is the way they used to make beds in those days, take ropes, put the ropes between the two sides of the extended pieces that you stuck up against the wall, and now you've got a bed. So, whatever. So it's possible, basically, to have a kosher bed in terms of that it's roi l'kabel tuma. Therefore, our Mishnah may simply be referring to the same case. Who says it's referring to baloi kalim? And that you just have pieces of a bed that once were roi l'kabel tuma, and therefore there's this new gzera. You mustn't use pieces of a bed any more than you could use pieces of a rag. Not necessarily. Maybe it's the same aruchot amita that we were referring to in the Halakha Mishnah in Kalim. And so with that, we've gotten through this sugya. Tomorrow we need to see what exactly was the din of Rav Ami Bar Tuv Yumi about the Baloi Kalim, and what would be the halacha that would apply to Baloi Kalim.